Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus and to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Amen. Precious Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the boldness of the word of God. We thank you for the clarity of the word of God. We thank you for the challenges the word of God presents to everyone, saved and unsaved. We thank you, Father God, for arresting us when we was on that road to destruction, when we was speeding down the highway of life, lost and heading for a fiery ending. But you woke us up, you quickened us, and you challenged us, and you called us out like you called Paul out. And we cried out to you, Lord, what would you have us to do? Father, thank you, Father God, for waking us up. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Interesting verse. I've been teaching a series on the word of God, and last week we talked about 1 Peter chapter 1. We talked about as newborn babes, 1 Peter chapter 2, I believe. And we talked about as newborn babes, when we hear the word of God and we're in the word of God, it comes into our hearts, into our lives. The evidence that we're truly believers is that we have a desire for it. That we have a desire for, and we see the babes in church today, and they'll let you know. They'll let you know when they need some milk. They'll let you know when it's feeding time. Amen. Right on cue. They'll let you know when it's feeding time. And as men and women of God, we ought to cry like babies because we need the word of God. We need to hear the word of God. And the word of God ought to challenge us. It ought to confront us. And the title of today's lesson is being arrested by the word of God. Now, I know not many of us probably in here have been arrested. Maybe burning once or twice. 5 times. But when you think about it, many of us been pulled over, got a speeding ticket. Yes. Margaret, yes. Sylvia, even Cindy got one. She was going 26 into 25. That's what she said. Nothing like the lights going off behind you. Nothing like those lights going off and you know that they're for you. And you pull over. And back in the day, times have changed, but back in the day, they put you got out of the car and they put you on the ground.
Amen.
Amen.
Forgot about Jake over there.
Well, they put you on the ground. Here's Paul being arrested. But once you're arrested, okay? Once you're arrested, they take away all your rights. You take away all your rights. You know what I mean? They take away all the stuff that you belong, all your belongings, everything you have when you're arrested. You become, as we say in the prison system, the wards of the state. Yes, yes. All your rights have been taken away. The man of God who has been arrested by the word of God belongs to God. Let me say that again. You're a child of God and God has arrested you. You belong to Him. Amen. You belong to Him. Yeah. You don't move as you used to move. You don't do as you used to do. You have a new boss. And he's calling all the shots. Well, here we find Paul. What a fascinating verse. Paul says, and Saul yet breathing out and threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He's talking about the people of God. Paul is breathing out slaughterings. He wants to slaughter those who believe. How about that? The disciples of the Lord, followers of the Lord, those that are learning. And it says he went to the high priest, verse number one, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, what's he talking about? If he found any believing on Jesus Christ and him crucified. I just wonder, my mind wonders, how many people would Paul find today? And if he was out and he had arrest warrants for any that believed, if he was to come to our jobs, if he was to come to our place of employment, if he was to come to our schools, if he were to come to the places we hang out and ask our friends to give us evidence that this person that is a man or woman of God, how much evidence would he find? How many of us would be arrested for being men and women of God? How many of us? And I'm talking about charges that stick. Men and women, he says, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Stay with me. Talking about the voice of God. Talking about how God speaks to us. How many know the three ways God speaks to us? He speaks to us through the word of God. Amen. He speaks to us through the people of God. Amen. And he speaks to us through our circumstances. See, none of us are going through anything just to be going through it. God speaks to us mostly, I believe, through our circumstances. And he tries to get our attention, trying to quicken us and wake us up. And sometimes the challenges are strong. And you may say, well, God is speaking to me really strong. And maybe you need to really listen to what God is trying to say. Usually he's trying to say, stop. Stop. And many of us have been there. Many of us heard God say stop and we say go. Paul was looking for some men and women that were believers, that really loved the Lord and was spreading the gospel message. And he wanted to shut them down. He wanted to shut them down. And the Bible says in verse number 3 of this text, and he journeyed and came near Damascus. Came near Damascus, where the people of God had congregated, where the people were, it was known where people of God worshiped and served the Lord in Damascus. And watch this. And suddenly, there shined around about him a light from heaven. A light from heaven. God is speaking to Paul, and he's shining a light on Paul. And sometimes God has shined a light on us. I remember God shining a light on me. What does light do? Light reveals the true issues of a person's heart. When a man of God is saved and born again, the Bible says their heart has been enlightened. What happens to darkness when light shows up? It's time to go. Darkness has to leave. Darkness has to leave. Most of the time, when places that where sin is prevalent, usually the lights are low. Sin don't like light. And some of y'all laughing, and I know why you're laughing, because you remember being in the clubs and the lights is low, and then right around 2 o'clock, folks start leaving around 1:45, the ones that really weren't supposed to be there. And then at 2 o'clock, the lights come on. Paul heard a voice. The Bible says he heard a voice. This is the part I like. And it says, and the light shined about him from heaven, and he fell to the earth. He fell to the earth and heard a voice. Now, when I see that word heard, I see it a little different. I see it as a word that he understood who this voice was. He understood who this voice was. He heard a voice. He may have acted like he didn't understand who this voice was, but he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul. And I don't believe it's probably the first time Paul heard this voice. He probably heard it many times. Paul was a denier at this time. Paul was a denier. And Paul wrote his testimony in 1 Timothy. He said, I was ignorant. He said, I was a persecutor. I was a persecutor. I was a evil man. And Paul said, I done it out of ignorance. I done it out of ignorance. He said, I done it unknowingly. And God forgives us of our ignorance. And people say, well, you know, if it was based on what we done before God saved us, none of us could serve. None of us would be able to serve. But God saved Paul. God shined a light on Paul. God spoke to Paul clearly. And this is what he said to Paul. He says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who was Paul persecuting? The people of God. Paul was persecuting the people of God, the people that believed in him. The people that believed that Jesus Christ died for their sins and rose from the grave. Paul was persecuting them, and Jesus took it personal. Personal. Some of you, when if somebody is bullying your child, or if the teachers in school is treating your child a certain way, they're not treating your child that way. They're treating you that way. You take that personal. You take that personal. If you in here and you have a husband or you have a wife, and somebody is saying things about your spouse or your wife or your husband, you take that personal. Amen. We serve a personal God. That's why they say we have a personal relationship with him. He has a personal relationship with us. Amen. And if somebody is offending us, they're offending the God we serve, because he's our father now. He saved us. We belong to him. And if someone is messing with something that belongs to you, you're going to take it personal. Paul, the Lord's talking to Saul. I keep calling him Paul, but his name was Saul up until this time. He says, Saul, Saul, why does he persecute me? And here's his answer. He said, who art thou, Lord? I just kind of think there's a little bit of sarcasm in there, because listen, this light came from heaven. Paul was on the ground now, laying prostrate before a holy God. And he's saying, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, the Lord is speaking audibly to Saul. Okay? Saul is an apostle. God spoke to Paul, Saul, audibly. And he said, I am Jesus. Okay. Whom thou persecutest, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He's calling Paul out. He's saying you're going against something that you can't defeat. You're going against something that you have you don't have enough power to overcome. Kicking against the pricks was something that they did in a farmers with using oxen, and if the oxen got tired, the farmer would take a long pitchfork like thing and poke it a little bit to get it moving. And the ox would, initially the ox would kick back, try to get the, I'm not working right now. And the ox, and the farmer would stick him a little more, and the ox would start going. Paul was kicking against God. He was fighting a battle that he had not won. Well, let me just use that to move into some areas, because as a child of God, Paul was arrested. He was arrested. Now, the next verse, and I'm gonna use some illustrations to try to open up this verse just a little bit. So stay with me. Look at verse 6. It says, and he trembling, Paul, Saul, he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? God don't say nobody for nothing. I heard Sylvia up there, and we're going to do Women's Day, and every woman in here, I can hear some of the women. Okay, what she want me to do? You know Sylvia crazy. She going to have me up here doing something crazy. Well, listen, God has called everybody for a purpose. Everybody has something to do. Everybody has a role to play in God's economy. And if God has called you and if you're not doing anything, okay? I have a friend used to say this all the time, one of the lieutenants. And we work in state government jobs. And he would say there's what we call government employees and government workers. And he would say, Sergeant Neal, you are an employee. He would pick with me all the time. But I understand what he's saying. God has called us to a great work. And that's spreading the gospel. That is spreading the message of Jesus Christ throughout the dying world. All of us have a role to play in that. Paul is asking God, what would you have me to do? What's he saying? I'm yours. I'm your servant now. I've gone from being a persecutor and a threatening person to being your servant. Paul said, I'm your servant now. And what does a servant do? Serve. What does a servant do? Serve. If you go to a restaurant and you see the waitresses and then you come in and none of them move. They're sitting there and you walk in and you and your family and none of them move. They over there eating. That's not what service is called to do. Servants serve. Paul is giving us a lesson on what the power of God's word does. Now we sit here and talk about these songs and we sing all these wonderful songs, but the word of God is a living word, and it lives inside the believer, and the believer is dominated and the believer is controlled by the word of God. Amen. The believer has no option but to, is this pleasing God? If I say this, is it going to please God? If I do this, am I going to please God? That's the life of the man or woman of God who's controlled by God. Peter was so dynamic in his worship and his praise of God. And anytime a question came about of who God was and Peter was around, Peter didn't hesitate. Peter didn't hesitate. He knew that Jesus Christ was the living word of God that he had to answer to. And I tell you this story all the time in John 6. In John 6, the disciples are all following Jesus. All these disciples, all these people are following Jesus. And then Jesus amped it up a little bit. He turned it up a little bit. And I say this, Justin, when you start walking with the Lord, there's going to come a time in your life, a time in your walk, where Jesus is going to turn it up a little bit. He's going to say, you know, you done walked that way long enough. I'm getting ready to turn it up again. It's sort of like playing team sports. You play football, you join a team, and I remember as a freshman, Jay, freshman team, that's all you play. You didn't, back in the day when I played, you wasn't on the varsity. You was a freshman. You didn't even dress. Okay? Now when you became a sophomore, they turned it up a little bit. Now you was practicing with the varsity all the time. Then time you was a junior, now you had a chance to really be a contributor to the team. And as a senior, now it was already, you was a leader. And see, this is how God does in our lives as we walk with the Lord. He gives us more and more and more. But if we don't have no desire, if we don't have no desire, we're not going to get no playing time. Okay? Here's Peter. I thought this was interesting. Disciples are following Jesus. And they follow him because Jesus is doing miracles and he's healing and he's feeding them and he's giving them all this stuff. Then he turns it up. Okay? And when he turned it up, in verse 65, he says, "Therefore I say unto you that no man can come unto me," John 6, "except it were given unto him of my Father." Meaning, if God has given me this person is going to work for me. This person is going to serve me. This person is going to worship me. This person is going to turn his back on a whole lot of stuff. And I'm going to become the boss. Now watch what happens. And it says, from that time, verse 66 of John 6, "and from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Why'd they go back? Because he turned it up. He asked them to get out of their comfort zone. He asked them to do something they weren't comfortable with. And possibly was going to cost him something. Might have cost him a relationship. Maybe cost him some friendship. You turn it up a little bit. Well, you know, if I turn it up a little bit, some of my family members might not want to hang out with me. You know, if I tell them out here, I'm turning up a little bit. That turning up a little bit might cause you to stop drinking. Amen. Stop going certain places. Your commitment to God may cause you to walk away from some things. Amen. Paul, or Jesus, he turned to the 12. Watch what he says in verse 66. And watch Peter. Watch Peter just chime in. Because Peter was all in. And it's because you're all in don't mean you're not going to make mistakes. I don't want you to say, but Peter was all in. He wanted perfect because we know the cock crew three times. Peter was still in the flesh and he still was a man. But watch how Peter stepped up. When all the disciples turned back, Jesus didn't do like these preachers today. See, these preachers today are doing everything they can to hold on to folks. They don't care how they're living. They don't care what they're doing. Listen, it's all about keeping people happy and keeping me paid. So Jesus turned to the 12, not to the 10,000 that walked away. He turned to the 12. Watch what he says. "Will ye also go away?" Why did he say that? Tell you something. I love my family. I love my church family. I got some coworkers that I love. I got some nieces and nephews and cousins, people that I love. But guess what? I can't do for them. Heaven is a reservation for one person. Okay? I can't sit here and say, "Hey, look, all y'all, you know, y'all just come on with me. Everybody just get in with me." Can't happen. It's personal. It's one ticket per person. Okay? And I know some of y'all love y'all babies. I know Jake loves his babies. They run around here like they crazy, but I know he loves them. But I know one thing for certain. Each one of them is going to have to be born again. Amen. They're not getting in on Jake's faith. Amen. Karina not getting in on my faith, and Cindy not getting in on my faith, and that's just the way it goes. Watch Peter. Peter answered him. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" That was his answer. Jesus asked him, "Will you go away too?" He said, "Where should we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Thou hast the words of eternal life, and I have embraced them. I have been arrested by them. They are holding me hostage. I cannot go away. That's what Peter said. And the question that has to be asked is the word of God holding you hostage. I hear Sylvia. I was sick. She was sick. She used to talk so much in Sunday school, getting on my nerves. Because she had missed a Sunday. And it bothered her and it troubled her. She missed a Bible study, I believe. Because it's so important to her. Because she wants to learn and grow. And I know some of you just, it just pains you not to be able to come to church and see your family members and your loved ones. Because you see us more than you see your family. Blanche Carden started this morning and she just rang the phone. We sitting in there like, who is that calling here? We trying to have a Bible study. And the phone was just ringing. And I said, "Oh, Lord, I got to go answer the phone." I didn't know what was happening. I thought something happened. And I said, "Hello." It was Blanche. Her car wouldn't start and she needed a ride to church. And she wasn't stopping. She wasn't stopping until she got to church. Why? Because she has been arrested by the word of God. You talk to some people over at CCA, the private prison, and they have a time where they get some free time. But guess what? There's a time where they have to be back at that place, and they better not be a minute late. That's the kind of desperation that the man or woman that's been arrested by God has. Let me give you one more illustration of Peter. Matthew 16. See, you guys know these verses all the time. You know them well. Here's Jesus, and the Bible says in Matthew 16:30, and Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, others Elijah, and some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." That's what the world's still saying. You listen to Farrakhan, and he says some nice stuff. But one thing he never will say, he will never say what Peter said about Jesus. He will never say what Peter said about Jesus. He'll say some nice stuff. He'll talk about the Bible. And if you didn't know, you'd say, "Oh, Farrakhan believed that Jesus is God." No, he don't believe Jesus is God. He believed Jesus is one of the prophets, like Jeremiah, like Elijah, like John the Baptist, like Elijah Muhammad. You talk to a Mormon, Seventh-day Adventist, well, you know, he one of the prophets, like Joseph Smith. No, he's not like Joseph Smith. Okay? And Jesus said, listen. "Whom say unto them? Whom say ye that I am?" Okay? Watch Peter. Arrested. Don't care. He would say this. He would go right into the mosque and say it right in front of Farrakhan. He would say it just like this because Peter sold out. He didn't care. He was a man of God. He was arrested by God. And Simon Peter answered boldly. He answered. And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Let me break that down. Thou art the Christ, meaning, see, some of y'all believe Jesus' last name is Christ. If Jesus filled an application, you would put it out, Jesus Christ. That ain't what Christ means. Amen. That Christ don't mean that. That ain't why his name is Christ. Christ means he is the Messiah. He is the one, he is God in the flesh who came to die for the sins of the world. He's the Christ that blind Bartimaeus was on the side of the road and said, "Thou art the Son of David." He knew who he was. The Christ. The Christ means he's the Messiah. Farrakhan will never ever say that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Amen. He's never said that. He's a prophet. And that, and know what he's really saying? He's a liar. He's saying that Jesus Christ is the biggest liar that ever lived. If he says that he's only a prophet, he's a liar. Because Jesus said, "I and my Father are one. I am the Messiah." They didn't crucify him because he said he was a prophet. They crucified him because he said he was God. Amen. He was God. And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Not some dead idol. Not some mummified thing over in Egypt. The living Christ. Peter said, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever Farrakhan may say, that ain't how it go." But y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The man of God that's been arrested by God, the word of God that's been, the man of God that's been arrested by God, knows how to pray, knows how to serve God, is faithful. He's so faithful. Listen. The man of God that's arrested by God, the word of God just abides in him. The word of God, that man is filled with the word of God. And you ask yourself, "Oh, how am I feel?" You go. Next time you go to McDonald's somewhere, and you order a drink, tell them just fill it up halfway. Nobody's saying that. We gonna tell them don't put no ice in it. I want it all. See, the man of God is filled. Listen, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. You can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. And if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered and gathered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. They are burnt. They are burnt. Let me keep this verse. I'm in John 15. Watch this now. 15:7. And ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. My words abide in you. And you ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Let me tell you something. Folks ain't getting what they want because they not asking. They're not in God's will, and they're not asking, and God's word is not abiding in them, and we just go around struggling with life. And we ought to have that word of God in us, guiding us and directing us and pushing us away from stuff and pushing us towards stuff and filtering our lives. Like you got a liver. Your liver. That's what they tell you. And you know, when somebody's sick and they got something, and they got cancer or whatever they got, and as soon as that doctor say, "It's on the liver." Everybody know what that means. That means it's just a matter of time. When my mother had the cancer and Dr. Perry, God bless his soul, and he said, listen, the cancer is on your mother's liver. She got 90 days to live. See? That liver is a filter. And it filters. And once that filter is not working properly, that disease and that sickness is going to spread throughout you. Well, the word of God is our filter. And if our filter's not working, then we liable to do anything. We liable to go anywhere, do anything. They're not, listen, I've been working in the prison system for 30 years, and I hear officers condemn them inmates. They condemn them. And they look at what he did, look what he did, and look what she did, look what he did. Let me tell you something. I tell them all the time. Let me tell you something. They're not a sin. They're not a sin that's been committed by any of these inmates that you couldn't do. Amen. It's only by the grace and mercy of God that we haven't done. I can put it this way. It's only by the grace and mercy of God that we ain't locked up. Because some of us done some stuff. Just ain't got caught. That filter ain't working. You talk to somebody that don't have a filter working, and everything can happen in their lives. This is what concerns me about people. I talk to them. I say, you know, your filter ain't working. Drinking, getting behind the wheel, cars, drinking, and different things. And I'm sitting here like, you just an accident waiting to happen. You need a filter. That word of God will control you. It will control you. And we don't like to be under control. People say, well, you know, I got the Holy Ghost. And they think getting the Holy Ghost is running around and dancing. No, getting the Holy Ghost means it's going to control you. Amen. Okay? Not just on Sunday morning. Amen. Okay? Isn't that, it's going to control you. It's going to control you. And every once in a while, you might get off the beaten path a little bit, but that word of God, because it abides in you, it's going to push you back into a right relationship with God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And Paul, writing to the Philippians, here he says this beautiful verse, I write it down. It says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. A man of God, a woman of God that's been arrested, that's under the control of God, their life is all about giving God glory. I always tell somebody that's really arrested because they're giving God glory. The Bible said, everything you do and all that you eat, drink, or do, do to the glory of God. Yes. We ought to be giving God glory in all that we do. I know I got so much. Listen. I'm going to give you one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I'm going way back in my lesson just because I don't want to miss it. Okay? Listen. Missed it. Colossians 3:16. What a profound verse. Here it is. Paul again. Now Paul's arrested now. He's arrested. He don't have no choice. He's got to serve God because he's asked God, what would you have me to do? And God said, Paul, you're going to serve me, and you're going to suffer serving me, and you're going to die serving me. And Paul did all that. And when he got to 2 Timothy 4, he said, I finished my course. I fought a good fight. See the believer, the man of God that's arrested, fighting all the time. Paul says this about the word of God. I'm just talking about the word of God, this whole series about the word of God. He says, let the word of Christ, not the word of man. See, some of us in here so Democratic, so Republican, you know, we the Green Party and all this. You get them guys talking, you get a Republican and a Democrat in the same room, and they slapping the mega hat off one and calling the other one. Because they got the wrong stuff dwelling in them richly. And the word of God say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. To the Lord. Singing with grace in your hearts. What's that sound like? Somebody said, what's that sound like? Singing with grace in your hearts. Listen, we can get up here and sing. And we can sing all day. You go to some churches, they still singing. They'll sing all the way to 10 to 1. They'll sing till 10 to 1 and the preacher will preach 10 minutes. And 5 of those minutes will be altar call. Let me tell you something. When you sing with grace in your hearts, you're singing a different song. It's going to sound different. You know why? Because the person who's singing with grace in their hearts have a new heart. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Claire been singing all her life. And I guarantee you without a shadow of a doubt, she would tell when somebody was singing with grace in their hearts or just singing. There's a difference. Sound different. Two preachers was preaching. Young man got up. He preached on the 23rd Psalms. He preached, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He went through it and everybody. Then the old man got up and preached it. And he preached from what he had experienced and what he had been through and how God had led him down beside green pastures and how God, grace and mercy had followed him all the days of his life. When he got done preaching, it was something different going on in there. Listen, it's important that we keep the word of God. We are empowered by the word of God. That we are rested by the word of God. That word of God ought to grip us. Two churches. Out of the 7 God spoke to. God had nothing to complain about. God said they was doing well. They was the churches that loved him. Two churches. The church of Smyrna and the church of Philadelphia. Two churches. All the rest of them, he called them lukewarm. He called them, he said he spit them out of his mouth. They was all over the place. Told the Ephesus church, Ephesus, you lost your first love. You don't even love me no more. You don't love me like you used to. You lost it. You love yourself now. You love stuff and all kind of stuff. But he told the church of Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3. And I'll close with this verse. These verses. He says this. He said to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, Revelation 3 and 7, these things say he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. He's talking about God. The only person can do all that. He says this now. Now y'all know I say this all the time. Y'all can say whatever y'all want to say to me, or to the deacon board, or to the ushers. Y'all can say, yes, sir. God knows everything. He knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. God says this to the church of Philadelphia. I know your works. He said, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. How about that? No man shutting it. No, and the door, if God opened the door for you, no man can shut it. They may make it difficult for you to go through, but they can't shut it. He said, for thou hast a little strength. A little strength. We just talked this morning about the mustard seed. Let me tell you something. We talk about it all the time. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But you don't have to have this much faith. You can have the faith of a mustard seed. These people had a little strength. You know why? Because the world gonna beat you down. The world gonna come against you, and the world gonna challenge all that God has put in your heart. The world gonna do that. The world wants you to let go of your faith in God. Let it go. You don't need to do all that. It don't take all that. I remember when folks would tell me that all the time. It don't take all that. You don't got to do all that. Come on, man. You're going too far. We got so many winehead Christians down. I mean, Christian, it's become popular now. Save folks. Drinking and getting drunk and smoking dope. You know, this is preachers cussing now. Why? You ain't got to be holy to serve God. You ain't got to. Listen, let me tell you something. And this comes from the Bible. Not from me. The Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. No man should see the Lord. You sit here and people say, well, you know, I got to relate to the people. And all the young people, they cuss now, so I cuss at them. Let me tell you something. You hear a preacher cuss, you better get up and start moving. Because the word of God said, let now no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Amen. So many churches are so fleshy. Every preacher's preaching in shorts and tank tops and LeBron jerseys. Who? I went to a church and a man could preach to come out. It's hip hop day and they all got Tims on and sagging. Come on, man. Everybody got on stuff. LeBron don't love the Lord. You ain't never seen LeBron and his kids in church. They ready to kick him out of Los Angeles now. Should have left Cleveland. Listen. They had a little strength. And with that little strength, what did they do? Watch this now. This is so important. With that little strength, I'm reminded of the woman she had two mics. She had two pennies. That's all she had. She gave it to the Lord. Watch what these people did. The Bible said they had a little strength. And watch what they did. And has kept my word. Kept my word. Me held on tight to it with that little bit of strength. They held on tight to the things of God. They weren't going to be swayed and moved by the things of this world. They held on tight to the word of God. Watch what he says. And has not denied my name. That's what the world is trying to get you to do. You don't have to say it. Because your life will say it. You don't have to say, well, you like the Columbine kid. Deny Jesus Christ, I want to blow your brains out. Now, you ain't got to say it because your life will say it. Where people find you will be saying it. What you love will say how you feel about things of God. Behold, I'm going to keep going with this verse. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before my feet and to know that I have loved thee. What's he saying? I'm gonna fight all your battles, church. See, we spent a lot of time fighting battles that the Lord already took care of. Okay? Why is he going to do this? Look at verse 10. I'm going to let y'all go. Maybe. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. What's God saying? All of us in here deal with temptations. I tell folks all the time, listen, let me tell you something. I'm a preacher. Love the Lord. Love studying God's word. Love praying. Love Bible study. But I'm still in this flesh. Amen. And my eyes work. My ears work. My hands work. Everything work. I'm still in this flesh. And this flesh is constantly trying to get me to deny the word of God. This flesh is constantly trying to tell me that I can do whatever I want to do because I'm saved. And well, I hate to tell you, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Let me give you a couple of traits. I don't know. I got visitors, and you should probably say, Pastor, you got visitors, and you told me that was your last verse. Maybe they'll visit again. I just want to give you right out of Psalms 119 just a few things about the things of God, a few things about the Word of God that you should find. that you should find and that you should love as a child of God who's been arrested, okay? And I'm not even going to expound on them. I'm just going to read them because they're so self-explanatory. The Bible, the Word of God is unchangeable. It's unchangeable. It's unchangeable. Psalms 119, 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I hear people, oh man, you believe that book, man. That book is held us in slavery. And I hear all people just slam the Bible that I love. And it hurt me so bad. Because I know it's true. And I ask them, I pray when I hear people talking about the Word of God like that, I say, God, give them the faith to believe. Because without faith, it's impossible to understand the things of God. And people say, well, why do you love the Word of God like you do? Why do you preach it like you do? Because I love it. And God has given me the faith to love it. And without faith, you won't understand the things of God. And you'll look at it like, I don't understand it. And you'll fall asleep on it. But it's so beautiful to me. It's so true. The Bible says it's so true and reliable. How many have found the Word of God to be true and reliable? Amen. True and reliable. But Psalms 119:6 says, for thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy judgments is righteous and endures forever. Forever. How many know it's a light in a dark world? It's a light in a dark world. Psalm 119:105, y'all know this one. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Nobody liked to be in darkness. When I wasn't saved, when I was lost and I wasn't saved, I was in darkness. And I was running into stuff. And I was getting into stuff that I didn't know until I was in too deep. And God, I thank God for his light, for his illumination. The word of God is pure and sanctifying, cleaning me, constantly working on me, constantly working on the man or woman of God. Constantly. Psalms 119:104. The word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loving. How about sweet and satisfied? Is the word sweet and satisfying to you? I know. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Sweeter than honey in my mouth. Well, I hear them say all the time. When I turned over to the wonderful pulpit, I asked them to him, I said, I don't know if they find wonderful about this pulpit with me up here, but I don't say nothing. Then I found this verse. The man or woman of God is singing the word of God. The man preaching the word of God, praying about the word of God, is wonderful. It's wonderful. Somebody asks you to pray. Somebody asks you to sing. Somebody asks you to preach. Thy testimonies are wonderful. When you give a testimony about God's glory and God's goodness, you wonderful in God's eyes. You're wonderful in God's eyes. Well, I'm close for real. Have you been arrested by God? How about that? Have you been arrested by God? Do you have a testimony of the time and the place where you was at when God called you and arrested you and said, "You mine. You lost all your rights. You are a child of mine now, and you cannot not do what you want to do." Anybody remember that day? You sing the song, "There's been a change in me." Has there been a change? Are you looking for a change? Are you saying, "You know what? I need to change. I need to be a better woman. I need to be a better man. I need to be a better preacher. I need to be a better usher. I need to be a better singer. I need to be better." As we get older, we ought to want to be better.